Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the Gospel reading, especially the final verses where all the people were amazed and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." This is our text. What would you consider to be a normal Sunday? Just a regular, average, everyday Sunday. Probably coming to church, coming to hear the sermon and the scriptures in the sermon, coming here to pray, coming here to chant and to sing, coming here to receive encouragement from being with fellow believers. Those are the same reasons that Jews in the first century attended the synagogue services, like that Sabbath day in Capernaum. It was a normal Sabbath day. They went for all of these reasons to the synagogue. They probably anticipated afterwards heading home for a good meal and some rest, just like you do on a Sunday. But what started as a normal, everyday, ordinary Sabbath soon turned into an unforgettable one. It was a Sabbath to remember. Not because of anything happening outside, but because of what went on inside. What was it that made this Sabbath day different? It was the teacher. I suppose you could say they had a guest preacher, and that was pretty impressive, but it was the teacher they had that day. They had nothing against the regular rabbis. They had nothing against the usual teachers. They heard God's word from them, too. But there was something different about this teacher, about this man. What was it? They tried to put their finger on it, on the difference. It wasn't just what he said, though that may have been a little bit different. How he said it astonished them. And when you hear that word "how," don't think simply style or polish or eloquence. All of those are fine things, but those are just skin deep. This teacher had something deeper. He connected with the words he was saying at a level they'd never heard before. The best way to describe it is to say that he spoke not as the scribes, but as one who had authority. You see, the scribes taught by quoting others. You can picture perhaps a Sabbath day where the rabbi comes in and says, as Rabbi so-and-so said, or as Rabbi so-and-so said. They love their verbal footnotes. They love citing their sources. They love talking about traditions handed down from their forefathers. But in all those ways, you could tell that they really didn't have much authority of their own. They were downstream from the source. This teacher didn't do that. His teaching streamed out of him as though he were the source, the head. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like the difference between hearing someone talk about what others have said versus hearing someone talk about what he or she knows from the inside. The authority. They have the experience, they have the knowledge to be able to speak for themselves of what they know. This teacher is like that. Other teachers were servants of Scripture, but this man, he spoke with authority as if he were the author, the creator, the master. He taught with the freedom and the power of one who perfectly knows the mind and will of God, and nothing could hinder the effectiveness of his words. Jesus of Nazareth teaches as one who has authority. And that certainly made it an unforgettable Sabbath for the people gathered there in Capernaum. Who knows how many Sabbaths they'd gathered, how many sermons they'd heard, but never like this. from this man. But that was only the beginning. Sometimes there are things that happen that are so unexpected that we never forget them, that they sort of emblazon themselves on our memories. And this Sabbath had that too. Immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? We have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." That would be a surprise. You don't expect to meet an unclean spirit in God's house. You don't expect to see God's divine authority directly challenged in his house. And you don't expect to have someone stand up in the middle of service and start yelling. But that's what happened there. And what strange words. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Who's the us? Is that unclean spirit speaking for all of the other unclean spirits? I don't know. I feel like that unclean spirit is almost trying to identify himself with everyone who is present, even with you and me, not just with the man he inhabits. He sees the situation with Jesus there as an us versus you, all of us versus you, Jesus. He sees Jesus as the adversary, as the threat, as the enemy. And of course he does, because Jesus is a threat to the devil and all of his works and all of his ways and the little kingdom that the devil wants to build for himself. Jesus is the invasion of light into the world of darkness. And the brighter the light, the more you can see what lies hidden in the darkness. Maybe you've had that experience. The lights have been on dimly. Everything looks like it's pretty clean and tidy. And then you shine a bright light on and you realize it's a lot dirtier than you expected. That's what it's like when Jesus shows up. The light shines with so much brightness that suddenly the things that were in the corners, the darkness is exposed. That's why the unclean spirits suddenly seem to pop into the open when Jesus appears, because the light is so bright. The light of the world uncovers the darkness. The Holy One reveals the unholy. The clean draws attention to the unclean. Have you come to destroy us? Where do they think he's come from? The people in the synagogue there in Capernaum think that Jesus came from Nazareth, just over the hill and down the way. But the unclean spirit knows better. Have you come to destroy us? Jesus may have grown up in Nazareth, but he came from somewhere else. He has another existence prior to the incarnation, before the angel came and overshadowed the Virgin, the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she conceived. He existed. For this is the very Son of God. This is the second person of the Trinity in human flesh. He came from the Father, and he will return to the Father, but not until he has done the work that he came to do. And what is his work? We see it right here at the beginning of St. Mark's Gospel. This is the very first miracle that Mark records for us. He must crush the serpent's head. That is what he came to do. He must shine the light into the darkness so that the darkness cannot overcome it. He must go to that place called the place of the skull so that the cross can be planted in the skull of the serpent at Golgotha. Truly, the Son of Man, Son of God, came to destroy the works of the devil. Yes, he came to destroy them. But he did not come to destroy us. That is the thing that this unclean spirit gets wrong. He wants all of humanity to see Jesus as a threat. But he is not a threat to us. Even if there is darkness or uncleanness or unholiness in us, he is a threat to that, but not to us, for he came to be our Savior. The unclean spirit is distinct from the man he inhabits. The spirits have much to fear, but we human beings, we have a friend in Jesus. He has come to set right what has gone wrong and to restore what has been broken. Jesus of Nazareth, true man, the Holy One of God, also true God. It almost seems that the unclean spirit thinks that he can control Jesus by naming him, by calling him Jesus of Nazareth, by identifying him as the Holy One of God. There certainly were these ideas among people in the ancient world that if you knew the name, you had power over the one whom you named. And so the spirit tries that, but it fails. The presence of Jesus is a presence that is more powerful than the powers of darkness, no matter how dark they may be. That evil, unclean spirit wants to own Jesus, and he wants to own the souls that are there. And you know what? By ourselves, we are no match for the dangers of this life. By ourselves, we cannot overcome the unclean spirits. With our own strength, we cannot even resist the temptations of the evil one. How will we survive? This is how. Because Jesus comes. Jesus comes with authority to rescue us, and Jesus comes with authority to destroy the unclean spirits. And so he does. Be silent. Come out of him. And we never hear another word from that unclean spirit. His mouth is stopped. He has no more power. And when Jesus speaks, this is not a request. He doesn't say, "Would you mind vacating?" No, it's a command. It is a rebuke. And what Jesus says happens. The unclean spirit must obey. And so Jesus exercises his authority, not for his own sake, but for the sake of the man in need. It is such a beautiful thing. He comes with authority, but his authority is not used to serve himself. His authority is used to serve others. He uses his authority to serve you. For this man came not to be served. He came not to have others bow down to him, but he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he did. You want to know something the devil would never do? You want to know something an unclean spirit would never stoop to? That would be to serve you with their power and their life and their abilities and their gifts. They only serve themselves, but Jesus came to serve you. And so he speaks, and the unclean spirit, convulsing the man, crying out with a loud voice, comes out of him. Jesus drives out the darkness. He cleanses the unclean. He makes holy the unholy. And that man is free. Jesus is Lord. He is the Lord and the Master. And when he commands, it is done. Even by those who hate him and fear him. We may wonder where the unclean spirits are today. We may wonder why they don't pop up anymore. Or maybe they do and we just don't notice them. Maybe we're so used to it. Especially that little word unclean is interesting to me. How hard do we have to look to find things that are unclean and unholy in our world? Do you look around at our world and say, pretty clean, pretty holy? It's not hard. You know it. You see it. Consider this. Sexually explicit images and language are so common. They are so common that we become used to them. Coarse joking and scantily clad pictures and all of that. Or how about demeaning, degrading, and lying words? Heard so frequently. Do we even give them a second thought? Are we disturbed by the things we see and hear? Do we attribute the things that are unclean to the source of uncleanness, which is the devil and his power? Are we disturbed by the unclean things that we ourselves think and say? Jesus has come to bring to light what is dark. And I will guarantee you this: the more time you spend with Jesus, the more time you spend with him in his word, and the more time you spend with him in his holy communion and his sacraments, the more you'll see the darkness around you. When we have the light shining in our lives, the darkness becomes so clear. And Jesus has come not only to identify the darkness, but he has come to clean it out. He has come to make holy not just the world out there, but you and me. And this is why we are here today. Whether we felt it or not, whether we see it or not, there is a darkness around. There is a darkness near. In ways, there is a darkness within. And so our Lord comes that he may, with authority, drive out that darkness and bring to us light and life. Be silent, Jesus says, and the unclean spirit is silent. Come out of him, and it comes out of him. But he uses his authority to say more, to say to you, sitting in darkness, your sins are forgiven. And you know what? They really are. You can try and remember them if you want, but he doesn't remember them. You can try and hold on to them and wallow in your sin if you wish, but he's not seeing it on you anymore. It is gone. He speaks and says, this is my body, this is my blood. And we bend our knee before him and say, amen. Here is the Holy One of God. Here is Jesus of Nazareth. Come with authority to us. With an authority not to destroy us, but rather to save and rescue us, to make us clean, to make us holy. Because that's what he wants for us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be amazed as we gather this day. For us, you might call it simply another ordinary, everyday Sunday. But we know that there is no such thing as an ordinary, everyday Sunday. Not because someone stands up and yells and screams during the service, not because an unclean spirit pops out and appears. We know that this is no ordinary day or time, because the one who spoke with authority in Capernaum is here with his authority among us. Amen. And he speaks and he acts with that authority, that we may be delivered from the darkness, cleansed and made holy. They were amazed when Jesus was in their synagogue. They said, what is this? A new teaching and with authority? Let us say the same thing today. When we gather, when we leave, what is this? What was it that was going on? A new teaching? The new teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and with authority? Not because of me, but because of him and what he has done and who he is. Truly, what God promised through Moses has come to be, the one who would be like Moses, a prophet after his own likeness. But an even greater prophet has appeared, and he has come among us, and he drives out the darkness, and he brings his holiness, and he makes clean, and he rescues and delivers from the devil and all his works and all his ways. Dear brothers and sisters, you are free. Jesus is Lord. The devil has no power. The darkness is going away. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.